الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة معراج المؤمن سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام Glory be to He who caused His servant to travel by night from Masjid al-Haram to the furthest masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His glorious book describes the, in this ayah that I just recited, describes the event of the Isra. And actually, annually, you'll see throughout the world, the Muslims, on their calendar, through their acts of worship, they mark this very, very significant and special event. Actually, if you listen to the term, there's actually two individual terms that are used to describe this particular event that we're here to discuss this evening. The first is Isra, and the second is Mi'raj. So often it's referred to as Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Isra comes from the term Asra, Asra Yusri. And actually what Isra means is to make something go by night, to make something travel at night. To cause something to travel at night. Mi'raj comes from arj, from uruj, to raise something up. So actually, there were two independent events that occurred in the history of Islam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are both contained within this single term. Isra, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made to travel from Mecca to Jerusalem in the middle of the night. So that's going from one part of the earth to the other part of the earth in the middle of the night. And then there was the Mi'raj, which means that the Prophet ﷺ went from Jerusalem all the way up to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these were two independent events that occurred. Now, both of these events are actually, well, the Isra is definitely narrated in the Holy Quran. And it's covered in the verse that I just read before you a few minutes ago. And the Mi'raj is also covered, but it's covered in Sahih Hadith. So both of these events are actually covered in our Islamic tradition. Now you have to understand that as Muslims, the most valuable thing to us is our tradition. We don't decide which days are special and which days are not special. We don't make up what we do on one day. We don't make up what we do on another day. The beauty of this deen is that every single part of this deen that we practice is actually narrated to us through a chain of events. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His own words describes the Isra, and the companions, multitude of them, describe the Mi'raj. So both of these are well established within our deen. Now, what you have to understand is that we as human beings tend to celebrate events. This is one of the things we like to do. Whenever we get an excuse, we celebrate. Somebody has a birthday, we celebrate. Somebody gets a new job, we want to celebrate. We're always finding some way, shape, or form to celebrate. Actually, what's interesting is that we are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the deen surrounds us in such a way that it even deems the day that we celebrate. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a very beautiful hadith, when he saw that the people of Medina were celebrating on various days when he arrived in Medina, he reminded the newly converted servants of Medina at the time when he emigrated that actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only created 2 days of celebration for the Muslim. The Muslim works the days that Allah commands them to work. Because the Muslims are servants of Allah. We follow exactly what Allah has designed for us. And we celebrate the days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to celebrate. So those 2 days that we celebrate happen to be the 2 Eid. The 2 Eid are the 2 days of our celebration, and for those particular days, we have an established celebration that as a group we pursue. And this is part of being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Isra wal Mi'raj is a day not to be celebrated, but it's a day to be remembered. And you need to understand this subtle difference. So if you go back in the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will not find that they celebrated Isra wal Mi'raj. You won't find. In fact, we don't even know historically when this really occurred. For example, if you go back in our books of history, we don't even know what year of the prophethood the Isra wal Mi'raj occurred. Some people say it occurred in the 5th year after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became prophet. Some people say the 7th year, some people say the 9th year, some people say the 10th year. And the vast majority of scholars, they say the 12th year. But imagine if the debate begins as actually what year did this event occur, then imagine the amount of debate that exists for what day it occurred. Right? So even the day of this event is debated, and the reason why it's debated is because the Sahaba themselves did not place too much importance on this particular date. So why are we sitting here? Because the scholars, they highlight or remind us that on these particular occasions we don't celebrate, but we use these events as a reminder for some of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. So the purpose of this gathering is not to celebrate Isra wal Mi'raj. And when we get to the end of the gathering, I will give you some practical points that you should take home as to what you should do on this particular night. The purpose of this gathering is to explicate the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which he says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjid al-haram ilal masjid al-aqsa. We're going to spend the next hour understanding this verse of the Holy Quran and then understanding the sahih hadith that pertain to this event, and then in particular we are going to concentrate on the lessons that you can draw from this event. Now understand that point as well. This is not a story. The Isra wal Mi'raj is not meant to be a story that one generation tells to the next generation who passes it to the next generation. Actually, there are some practical implications to this event. There are some lessons that we gain from this event. There are some blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on the community in relationship to this event, and that's the purpose of this particular gathering, and that's what I hope that each of us, starting with myself, and then moving on to the rest of you, will take home from this particular gathering. Now, the beauty of this event is that a multitude of sahaba, both female and male, actually narrate various aspects of this event. Now, if you go through our books of hadith, you'll know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's history, his words, his deeds, his action, are preserved in a group of narrations called the hadith. And those hadith are related in various books. For example, there was a famous scholar named Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari was a compiler of hadith, and he created a book of hadith, which we now refer to as the Book of Imam Bukhari. Imam Muslim was another famous compiler of hadith. Imam Tirmidhi, rahmatullah alayhi, was another famous compiler of hadith. So we have several famous scholars who collected the treasure of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these are like jewelsmiths. For example, you know that when somebody wants to purchase a diamond, they don't go to the mine to get the diamond. Somebody gets the diamond from the mine, the diamond is then shipped to the jeweler carves it, shines it, places it on a ring, and then you purchase the diamond from the jeweler, right? In the same way, these scholars of hadith, they traveled all over the entire world. They verified the hadith for us. They shined the hadith, they polished the hadith, they placed the hadith in the container for us to understand it, and then they passed it on to this community. Now, what I've done actually is I've gathered the various hadith that apply to Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. So what I'm going to do is go through several of these hadith, but I chopped them up into historical order. So we're actually going to go through the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on this particular evening, which was the Isra wal Mi'raj, and go step by step exactly what happened, what hadith it's taken from, and the practical lessons that we learned from this event, so that hopefully my words may not change you, but the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will hopefully have an effect upon all of us. So anyway, the strongest hadith that relates to this particular event are found in the book of Imam Bukhari. And so we're going to start with that particular hadith. And the first hadith is actually narrated by Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr is a famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he narrates, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فرج عن سقف بيتي, that the roof of my house was opened, وأنا بمكة. And at that time, I was living in Mecca. I was staying in Mecca. فنزل جبريل. And all of a sudden, from that hole in my roof, the angel Jibreel عليه السلام came down. Now actually what happened when the Isra began was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping in the house of his aunt named Hani. If you look in various narrations, the most authentic narration is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping in the house of Hani when all of a sudden the roof blew open. It just blew open in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was obviously shaken by this event, and as he looked up, he saw the angel Jibreel alayhi salam descending into the home. The angel Jibreel alayhi salam descended into the home and then took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Hatim. Now you know the Hatim is the one part of the Kaaba which actually is not sealed within the building itself, but is part of the Kaaba physically. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to that area of the Kaaba. Then what happened? So from this we actually, this is just the first part of the hadith, and from this we learn some very important lessons. Number one is that this is some sort of major event that is about to occur. Now think about it. If you want to make a journey, let's say that you want to go and you, now we know that in this journey, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now for us, if we desire to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to do it through salah.